Okay, hello. Thanks for attending this session. In my talk, we're going to talk about the ways that we use GIS data to create a measure of access to exercise opportunities for the County Health Rankings Program. This filled a void in our data for a built environment measure available nationally at the county level. So I'm going to be skipping I'm not going to give a lot of details about our program, but the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps is a collaboration between the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the UW Population Health Institute. In terms of time, I will talk about this. Sorry. Okay, the objective of this presentation is to identify the percentage of individuals in a county who live reasonably close to a location for exercise, such as a gym or a park. Our main goal in adding this measure was to enhance the diet and exercise health factor areas of the county health rankings, which currently includes measures of obesity, physical inactivity, and the food environment. Adding a built environment measure about opportunities to exercise measures one of the other barriers associated with physical activity. One of the most important issues: if there's no place to exercise available, no exercise will happen. So I won't go into too much depth about the background here. We know that physical activity is associated with improved health, and we know that a built environment that offers more opportunities to encourage physical activity does increase physical activity among residents. For example, an individual who lives within walking distance of a park is more likely to go for a walk than someone who has to drive 30 minutes to get to the park, purely because of convenience and time. So data on the built environment and health, particularly that associated with physical activity, has been limited in some ways. It's been somewhat narrow in scope, oftentimes limited to studies that have a really restricted geographic area, one city, one county, one state sometimes. Oftentimes it was limited to a single type of data, parks or recreational facilities or and these types of studies were often not comparable between geographic entities or between studies. There are a few kind of national efforts, Walk Score, Park Score, that try to be more comparable and to take into account more types of availability. But we needed to create a measure that eliminated some of these issues. We needed a measure that could be comparable across all counties in the nation. We needed nationally available data. And we wanted to include as many locations for physical activity as we could to have one measure that looked at all the ways that people can partake in physical activity. We were able to locate nationally available park and recreational facility data from multiple sources. Our park data comes from two sources. We bought data from the Delorme Mark Map that included a file for state, local, and county parks. We also combined that with data that Esri includes on U.S. parks that's downloadable if you have Esri software. Both data sets in this case were from 2010. Okay, for each park, we created a 1/2 mile buffer around the park. I'll go into that in a little more depth about what that means and looks like later on. For recreational facilities, we used all businesses in a source, the OneSource Business Browser, that had a NAICS code of 713940, which included facilities like gyms, community centers, YMCAs, dance studios, pools. We wanted to be very inclusive of possibilities for recreational facilities, so we probably erred on the side of including some things that maybe wouldn't be normally considered options for recreational facilities, rather than excluding places that seem like possibilities. We created 1 mile buffers around recreational facilities in urban census tracts and 3 mile buffers around recreational facilities in rural census tracts. These buffer sizes were based on literature reviews where people are much more likely to exercise if a location is within a 10-minute drive, and how long you can travel in 10 minutes varies whether you're in an urban area or a rural area. So people are more likely to walk to parks rather than drive, but are more likely to drive to recreational facilities, with that accounts for the differing buffering sizes. Okay. I'm going to note here, too, that actually our data source for this has changed on the recreational facilities, only to comment that this measure, as we've designed it, isn't particularly dependent on the particular source of your data. As long as you have something that identifies the recreational facilities, a code of some sort. We switched from NAICS to SIC codes, which gave us a little more specificity eventually. And you can have an address. That's really all you need. So this data, this is based on our old definition of this, but we are moving away from this. Our old source disappeared. So, and we haven't found that it's changed the measures in an overwhelming way. So it's nice to see we can get consistency. Okay, I'm going to walk you through one example of how we create this measure. This is an example of parks in Dane County, Wisconsin, which is where we're located. The green shapes are parks from one of our data sources, and the purple is the half-mile buffer drawn around each park. Okay. All of our data files were overlaid onto census blocks in the Tiger Line files, and the buffer files were intersected with the Tiger Line files to get to the census block population data. Census blocks where at least one of the buffered physical activity areas overlapped with the census block were considered to have access to a location for exercise. Okay. This was then exported into SAS so that we could run our analysis from there. Okay. So the final measure is then created using statistical software. The sum of populations in census blocks with access to exercise opportunities in a county becomes the numerator. Recall those were the white census blocks the denominator is the total county population. We then turn this into a percentage for ease of interpretation so that the measure access to exercise opportunities can be interpreted as the percentage of individuals in a county who live at least within 1/2 mile of a park or 1 or 3 miles of a recreational facility, depending on if it's urban or rural. So here's what this kind of looks like in practice. You can see here the four data sets we used to create the measure. The two left maps of Dane County showed buffer parks from the Esri data source. The top right corner shows buffer parks from the DeLorme data set. You can see how they're similar, but definitely not identical. These data sets were sometimes better at identifying small. Some of them were better at finding the little small ones, and some were better at identifying the regional parks. So we really did find that having the two sources of parks data was very helpful. So the bottom right corner shows the buffers for the recreational facilities. So remember, there are 1 or 3 mile buffers, so that's the differences in those circle sizes based on whether the tract was urban or rural. Okay, so this data gets combined eventually into one big map with all the dots overlaid on each other. Then we use a spatial join or intersect function in ArcGIS to attach the parks data to the census block data. And it looks like this, where now everything is all flat on one level. And in this, so we'll move here from the buffers into the census tracts that had been intersected with the parks data. So all of the white tracts are ones that have access to recreational opportunities. Okay. So this is our final measure, a sum of all the census block population divided by the total population of the county. Okay. So So we then compute this measure nationally, and these are our basic statistics. We were able to access data on 3,128 of the 3,141 counties in the nation. The county level access to exercise opportunities has a mean of 62% and a standard deviation of 23%, with the range in some counties, no population has access to recreational opportunities, and up to 100%. So you can see, this is actually our data from 2015. So you can see the nationwide distribution. The darker counties have less access, while the lighter counties are the best performing. Areas on the east and west coasts perform well on this measure, and there's some areas in the south and midwest that have very little access, kind of including the frontier counties in the middle of the country as well. These patterns aren't as geographically distinct as some of the other measures we include in the county health rankings, but there certainly are regional differences in this measure. I think it's kind of interesting to look at the line between California and Nevada, where you can maybe see some sort of a state effect. Not everywhere can you see the state lines that distinctly, but this breaks down, this kind of looks at the distribution if you separate out access to parks and access to recreational facilities. So our access to parks measure is not particularly normally distributed. There are a number of parks that have, a number of counties that have very low access to parks, and then it just kind of drops, you know, the distribution goes down. But access to recreational facilities is the primary driver of the overall measure. You can see it's normally distributed with a mean of 53% of the population in counties having access to recreational facilities. When we combine these two, we get the mean of 62% and a relatively normally distributed distribution among counties in the United States. If we look at correlations with our other measures, we find that we have statistically significant correlations with our measures of health outcomes that go in the right directions, and in addition to that, pretty strong correlations with our measures of obesity, physical activity, and children in poverty, and our food environment index, which is a reversed measure, which is why you see the positive correlation rather than the negative correlation. Oops, wrong way. Okay, so this measure has a number of strengths and limitations. First, for our purposes and the purposes of other researchers, it's important that the data is available nationally at the county level. This data set uses multiple sources and multiple locations for exercise, making the data more reliable. And it's also not really dependent on any single data source. You can kind of just keep on adding them if you found more sources of data for this. Because the new locations for exercise are added or population shifts occur, there's potential for changes to this measure over time, and those changes can be reflected in longitudinal analysis. One of the important things for measures to be included in the county health rankings is that we can see change over time. It's not something that we expect to that we expect will be static, that counties can make improvements in these measures. Additionally, the underlying method is what's really important to take from this analysis. Counties or states can use this basic framework and supplement it with data of their own that can enhance this measure. We know that bike trails aren't included in this measure because we don't have a national source of bike trails, but if we found one or if your state has one, they can certainly add it in and create even more opportunities for access to recreational facilities. There are some obvious limitations. No data source clearly identifies all the locations for exercise in a community. Some notable ones were left out because no national data source exists. In addition, the GDIS files take a lot of time to create, so they are not always updated. Finally, we treated each one pretty serious limitation is that we treated each park and recreational facility as if it provided the same opportunity for physical activity. We know that not every park is as safe, is as accessible, provides the same opportunities for recreational activity or physical activity. And we know that not every recreational facility that's indoors provides the same level of access, either in terms of convenience, hours, or cost. These are certainly going to be problems in some places. But we believe that the data is good for expressing the options available, even though it won't capture all barriers associated with exercise. So, in conclusion, I believe we've shown that GIS can be a useful tool for creating environmental public health measures. I think we're probably just kind of starting here, and we're hoping that over time we're going to be able to develop more sophisticated measures. In terms of access to exercise, there is further exploration needed, and we'd like to continue to add other sources of data if there were available. This measure is associated with important measures of health outcomes and with physical activity as measured by the BRFSS. And we believe this measure can be used to encourage environmental interventions. It's not a measure that you have to make a big leap to figure out how you could fix it. It's pretty responsive to actual changes that local counties or cities, municipalities can make. So we did encounter some limitations with GIS. I think in terms of time, I'll just be careful and just say mostly it requires an immense amount of computing capability to do this at a national level. It takes us weeks to develop this, and usually that's using many people's computers. So that's definitely a limitation. And I'd like to thank all my partners, in particular Annie Rubel, who did the vast majority of the actual GIS work on this. And you can read more about it in a paper that was published in Preventing Chronic Disease in January this year. So, thank you.
We do have time for some questions. Just come up to the microphone. Go ahead.
You may have already said this, but is this a published data set?
Well, our results are available publicly. We have some limitations. We can't make the DeLorme data that we purchased available publicly, but we're certainly willing to work with local areas who want to explore some of what we can make publicly. We're happy to do that. We don't have it published sort of as a an ArcGIS file or something
right,
like that.
So it's just an index value that you get by county.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Sorry, I came in late. Maybe I shouldn't ask a question, but I still have one. So I know USDA website have the similar measures as MAP. What's the difference between yours and the USDA data?
I'm actually unfamiliar with the USDA. A physical activity measure?
Access to physical activity at a county level.
I'm familiar with, I'm wondering if it's perhaps the same one that's on the CDC website. There's an environmental public health tracking measure that is about access to parks. That's,
I think it was access to exercise facilities at the USDA website and at a county level. And they have maps.
Well, I will have to look that up. It's possible they are. I don't know. I really can't speak to it. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you think homeless live in the
So are you asking me if there's...
Because the way your measure is designed, you create a buffer where it's 3 miles
from
the rural
county. Yes. Rural census tract, not a rural...
Right, rural census tract.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, is there a way to kind of customize it to somehow, adapt to the rural, a different set?
So that was our attempt in some ways to recognize that access might mean something different in a rural area than in an urban area. The the changing of the buffer into a much larger buffer for rural areas, you know, kind of anticipating that either it's a little faster to get places or that in a rural area you might not view the same size drive as the same amount of barrier. So changing those buffer, I might be misunderstanding your question, because that was actually our attempt to kind of change that. We also considered making a change to the buffer for the parks, which we didn't on the advice of CDC working with them, with the understanding that parks, they don't just serve one purpose. They're also important as a community resource, and that the buffer differences might not need to be changed in rural areas. So
I guess I need to think about how to get at.
Okay, I'm sorry. Feel free to come find me later. I'll be around.